All right, let's see. If you'll look into Scripture this morning, turn over to Mark, if you would. I was trying to think where to start. There are several places I'd like for us to look into this morning because, you know, being the first of the year, we always think about New Year's resolutions. And, of course, a resolution is just a commitment that sometimes you make. Mark 12, I believe it is. Commitment that we make. I think that's right here. Let me see. And of course, there's different ones that you hear. Because sometimes it's about, you know, going to get to work on time. Sometimes the big one you hear is I'm going to lose some weight or I'm going to exercise. You know, it's just, I don't know why we don't make changes throughout the year. That's always, even as a kid, I'd think, no, what's special about the first of the year? I guess because that gives us a starting point, kind of a takeoff point, so to speak. And so it's easier to do that at that time of year or this time of year than it would be, I guess, picking a day in July to start and just waking up one morning and says, you know, I think I'm going to do this or that. But I thought we'd look at this morning just a simple Sunday school lesson on how can we love God more? I'm trying to think, how can we love God more through His knowledge or learning more about God? And just found some places in Scripture. Again, be very simple and straightforward this morning. Just look through Mark, and we'll spend a little time in Corinthians and maybe look over in 1 John and a couple other places and just see what the Scripture gives us as encouragement as Christians in this. And again, you look at this any time of the year, but first of the year, we tend to make resolutions and look. And I know 2 or 3 years ago, the first Sunday of the new year, our Sunday school lesson, we looked at, we looked at what the Bible sees during the month, during the year, and went by each month, and how the Bible's used. And you remember we talked about, you know, in the winter months, it was in this time of year, especially after Christmas, and bills were to be paid, and, you know, sometimes jobs are in short supply. It seemed like the Bible was used more. But as spring came along and we got outdoors and got into the summer months and the weddings, and you remember the Bible got moved into the centerpiece of the table, coffee table for the weddings or after the weddings because people would come over and visit, so you wanted the Bible on the table. Then by August, you were wiping the dust off of it. Then by September, it got pulled out again because someone else had an illness. So you remember that. We went through the year, And I think this morning it looks more like we'll look more like our lives individually, and see what Scripture says about just preparing ourselves to love God more, and can we love God more, and what we should do. Before I do that, I'd found a poem, and I don't read poems much. I'm not a big poem person. I don't read a lot of anything unless I have to keep up with work or whatever it may be, and. I'd rather sit and listen to someone than I had to go through and just read. You know, somebody gives me a document of 30 pages, or say you can go listen to someone for 3 hours, talk about it. I'd rather go listen to them. Seems like I get more out of that. But we grew up listening to. I know we had television, but you know, 2 or 3 channels. But we had all these other, you know, stations, AM stations. You could tune in, and listen to people talk, or sometimes you'd have. I remember growing up listening to these old, what was that old comedian, Jerry Clower. You know, he'd come on the radio. Of course, we lived down close to Mississippi, so they'd have him there, and he'd have some kind of little funny on he'd have, and they'd tune it in. So always more into listening. But so I say that because I don't read poems much, but I work with a guy, and it only comes up that I work with him every fourth week. And he's from up in New Hampshire, and he went to one of these Ivy League schools. So sometimes he stares at me real funny when I'm talking. Because my English is always not the best, but his is like, you know, I call it the old world English. I'm surprised he don't throw some thous and these in there and fee-fi-fo-thums or whatever. But at the end of every week, what we have to do, and I participate in it too, he has all the students and all the residents do, you have to write a Fibonacci poem. And I think he does that, and I kid him because he is from up north in the northeast, and Fibonacci. And is based on, I guess, vowel sounds, or not only vowel sounds, but I guess syllables and the sounds. And it starts off with like the first line. I'm going to read one to you, and it's about the heart. And that's kind of where we think about our love that we have is in our heart. Love we have for each other, love we have for the lost, love we have for the church, and of course for Jesus Christ, for saved. That's our love that we have, and that's where it stays, where it indwells. We think about our thoughts sometimes. I think our mind gets us off track, is the way I think about it, and the heart keeps us on track. And that's how in my life, I let my mind wander or get off on something it shouldn't. I know, and I won't mention his name, there's a young man here. He doesn't attend here anymore. Actually, he preaches some, and he goes to another church. And you'd know the family or the name if I mentioned him, so I'm not going to do that at all to him. But one time he asked me, walking across the parking lot, he said, "Do you ever," he said, at 12:05, and the preacher's still preaching, and this was some years ago, he said, "Does your mind wander off to what you're going to have for lunch?" And I thought that was the oddest question for him to ask me that. And I said, "Well," I said, "yeah, you know, I guess it does." He said, "Well, shoo." He said, "I sure am relieved." He said, "I thought something's wrong with me." And he said, I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I didn't think it should be doing that." And I said, "Yeah, but," I said, "if you're at work, does it really wander off to that?" And he said, "Well, come to think about it, no, not unless I've missed lunch for about an hour or so. Then it starts thinking." And I said, "Well, could that be just the devil, or what I think of the world working in, not wanting us to listen to the Word of God? Is that our mind drifting away?" I said, "That heart keeps us in check." That's what I've always thought, and what I've been told and heard preached. And so I found this Fibonacci, and I wanted to share that with you. And what it is, it's the first line will be one syllable. And that's why I think he brings it to the Southerners, because as we're talking, and I really count mine too, because I know he's counting them, because we draw words out. So, you know, I'll have students, especially, had a student from I guess the middle of Alabama, really. She's from close to Coleman. Well, that's a little more north, I guess, northwest. And boy, she'd say a word, and she could make one word with one syllable. She could make it five syllables if she wanted to. And so I'll read that to you. And think about, that's where love, and as we look this morning, it dwells in our heart. And that's kind of like, I think about a storage place. And that's where that would be. And let's try to keep in mind that our minds is what tends to let us drift away or drift off. You know, I'll think about, I'll use that example, that young man asked me that question, and I thought that before as well. But also I know sometimes Maggie will be talking to me, and I'll be looking right at her, but I'll let my mind drift off. And, you know, as kids get older and as we get older, and especially some of you I know have grandkids, you realize how precious that time is, and you tend to want to focus and listen to what they want to say. Same way with husband and wives. Kim goes through the house now, and an hour later she'll ask me something. I'll say, "Well, I mentioned that an hour." "Oh, yeah, that's right," that's what she'll say. And I don't know if she's just telling me that or she's got so much going through her mind she has to go through that list again. "Oh, yeah, that's number five. That's right, I forgot that." But I say that because let's keep in mind our heart. Now, I spent too much time on that, but it's called Heart TikTok. And it's about a heart, and it kind of goes along and says, and it's not very long, so you got to keep in mind, as I read it, I'm going to read it in each line, because that's the syllable, so it'll be one. It kind of sounds odd. It sounds like something that come from up north. Anyway, that's the tick of the clock sound as. Okay, let me back up. The tick of the clock sound as a melody to the heart that is waiting to beat, to a compass of ecstatic happiness and joy, healing and mending a broken heart that will beat with a brand new song under the stars. And talking about salvation and how only Christ can mend a broken heart or put the love into a heart. Let me read that to you one more time. So I didn't do it just so. It's a Fibonacci sequence. And again, it's syllables, but it kind of tells a story as we go. So the tick of the clock sound as, a melody to the heart that is waiting to beat, to a compass of ecstatic happiness and joy, healing and mending a broken heart that will beat with a brand new song under the stars. So let's get to the lesson this morning. We'll look here just, again, briefly, and we'll look at Mark 12 and verses 30 and 31. And just, again, looking at what God tells us about love. And in this new year, can we love God more through a better knowledge of His Word, through more studying, can we spend more time in God's Word? You know, we talked before here, I say that we're getting ready to read. Let me read it, then I'll tell you, make a comment. Let's see. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And we stop and we look at those. And the first one is, Love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And of course, 30 refers to God, our God. 31 refers to mankind, or our neighbor. And love is the root of those. And so the question we ask ourselves, can we love God more through a better understanding of His knowledge? Can we learn more about God? You know, I've mentioned before, and I don't know if some of you remember, we've talked about in education sometimes, and we talk about UVA. We talk about freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. University of Virginia is one place that's always stuck out in my mind. There's a few other schools that do that. You're a first year, second year, third year, fourth year. You've probably heard me say that before. In other words, they never call anyone or refer to anybody as a senior, because that refers idea that you can know everything there is to know. So as we look into love in the Scripture and we start off this new year, do we think that, is there anything else that we can know? Or do we look at, hey, I'm still a freshman. I'm a second year. I'm a third year. I'm a 22nd year. I'm a 28th year. I'm a 35th year. I'm still learning every day. We don't stop learning. As I gave you the first example, we don't stop learning. As I gave the first example, do we pick up the Bible and read more in January and February, but by June it's laying on the table just for others to see, and then by August or September we're wiping the dust off of it because we really won't get it back out again until December. See, do we allow that love to grow? Do we allow it to be watered? Do we allow, it to take root? Do others see love in our lives? And that's what we'll look at this morning. So can we grow anymore? I guess is what I ask. I got a little fellow I work with, and Vernon is his name, and he loves coffee from Hawaii. And there's a certain place that it's the side of a mountain, so he travels over there sometimes. So I actually had him pick up a few bags this year and for a few people, and he grows on the side of a mountain, and he talks about the how they pick it, how they get it, but there's a certain process, there's a certain way that it grows. And I say that about him because he tries to bring some back and transplant it. And I said, well, a couple of problems with that. Number one, you got to get it out of Hawaii back to the States. And he said, well, I can handle that. I don't know how to do it. But I said, you don't have any volcanoes to grow it on the side of the mountain. And he said, well, I guess that's true too. So he's failed year after year, but he continues to still try to replant that coffee plant. He still, I guess, imagines that he lives in Gray, and that one day in Gray he'll have his big coffee plantation with all this coffee from Hawaii. But the thing is, he still loves it enough, or as a hobby, I guess, to him in this case, he still puts his time and effort into it. And I guess I've spent a lot of time, I guess, before we read what the Scripture, is do we put that much effort and time into growing? Even though his plants are dying, he'll say, well, I guess the frost got them again. They're not going to make it. Or this one I didn't water enough. Or maybe the soil just wasn't right. The pH wasn't right. I mean, he spends a lot of detail and time into this. He was a chemist originally, so he spends a lot of time, you know, trying to monkey around, I call it, with the soil, try to get it just right. Do we do that with our lives in growing in our love of God and the things of God and the people of God? And that's what I want us to examine this morning. As we look here, the Lord tells us here in Mark, and as he's talking, he said, you know, if you look at verse 28, he said, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, and he told him, of course, we read, and thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So even though earlier I mentioned that I think that love abides in our heart, it still says our minds need to stay on the things of God. We need to dwell on the things of God. And as I was asked, we was going through the parking lot, and that young man asked me that day, he said, did your mind ever wander off to what you're going to have for lunch? And I said, as I stopped and thought, I said, well, yes, sometimes it does. He says, is that right? And I said, well, that's where we have to try to sit. It happens to everybody. So don't think you're outside of you know, outside a group and everybody else. No, that never happens to me. I stay right on the scripture the entire time. I said, what happens, you have to bring yourself back to where you need to be to clear that mind. And you know, that's where Brother John Dockery, preached on that time. And I've mentioned this two or three times since then. It's amazing how these things keep coming back sometimes. And he said, you remember he preached that message that night? He said, think on these things. And his whole message was on think on these things. He gave examples. And that's what I thought of then. There's some things we just need to think on or go back to. So let me read these to you as we get to them. Just stay where you're at and think about the love of God and how we can grow in this new year with retaining, not retaining, but a better knowledge of our Lord and Savior in our hearts, which then affect our bodies, our minds, and affect how we affect others and how others see us. And as we grow, I tell you, I'm leaning forward. I'm going to fall right off this thing. I was getting too close to the microphone. I'm getting excited about it. But because I need this, and that's why I read that poem to you about the heart tick-tock. As long as the heart's beating. And here it references, as you look here, it says it's like a melody in the heart that is waiting to beat. And if you think about a heartbeat, as we're sitting here, it's just in rhythm. And that's how our lives and our walk with the Lord should be. Should be in rhythm. And it's not always that way. Like if your heart gets out of rhythm, you know it. And I know some people, maybe some here, you have what they call AFib or atrial fibrillation. Sometimes your heart gets a little out of rhythm, skips a little beat. And you can. Some people say they can feel it. Some say they can't. Some live with it all their lives and never know it. And you can feel it. Get a little flutter. I know I was ill last week and Kim said, oh no, he's going to start talking about that again. She finally told me yesterday, quit talking about it. We know you were sick. That's a good wife. It is. Straightens you out. But what I mean, I could tell something was wrong, something was different. And so as we look here, and I spent a lot of time because I wanted us to think about our lives and our fellowship with Christ and with each other. And as we read these, so just stay where you're at. And we see in Mark, we should love God with all that we have. With all that we have. And I think everybody here understands that. And let me show you the results of that. I'm going to flip over to Romans. And I've got these marked for the sake of time. And I really didn't think I'd spend that much time at first. But I wanted to share that with you. And see, if we look over in Romans and we think about fulfilling. How fulfilling the love of God is. It should be all we need. We shouldn't need anything else in our lives. That's it. And I think it's already been mentioned, I think, from visitations yesterday. And we were talking before we went out. Some had mentioned there's some that started this new year that had vacancies. Or I felt like there was something was absent, something was missing. They weren't getting everything they could out of life. They didn't have a fulfilling life, so to speak. You know, I've talked to individuals before and a fellow back home, I think of. Have everything that money could buy. And I remember growing up and my dad would make the comment, said, but he's a sad man. And I never could figure that out. I thought, why would he be sad? He's got a big farm and he gets about what he wants. And he might have been the only person I knew down there with a basement. I tell people all the time, I never knew anybody had basements until I moved up here. But that's how big of a house he had. You know, down there to us growing up, that was a big deal. And you just didn't have those, and might have been the only, but very successful. But I remember recalling the day he got saved. My dad said, you know, and said, now he's happy, now he's fulfilled. He was always a piece missing, and he knew it. He just went through life really not knowing what it was. And I think yesterday with the visitation, that's one thing. As we stopped and we would talk, and if you come face to face with somebody and ask them, are they saved? Ask them, do they go to church? Ask them, do they know Jesus as their Savior? What does that mean? Ask questions, etc. And in Romans, we're told, and Paul tells us, that it could be fulfilling. Let's look here and see. He said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. In verse number 12, why is it important to, as my friend Vernon, who tries to cultivate those coffee plants, and I don't know if he'll ever make it, but one day he might. Let's look here. See, he spends his time working on that because there's going to be a day when he can't. What does it tell us here as far as cultivating? And I think as we go back up and look two verses, our love of God. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's don't be delayed. Let's don't be slowed down. Let's in this new year, 2016, let's go forward. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. See, I think about night life versus day life there. Think about that. You know, what do they always, and this is something commonly said too, and you've heard this, but I hear all the time at work and in the hospital, nothing good really happens after midnight. I've heard that always, and because if you work around there and you see that 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, nothing ever really good comes out being that early in the morning. And you think about nightlife versus daylife, just that in passing. Think about our lives. And here we're talking about just not night and day as we see outside, but in a lost and dying world versus a world with light. You know, and I remember Preacher Jack made a comment one time, and I've thought about this, and it's so true. It's a simple statement, but it's so true. So true. And if you think it, you're going to say, what's he going to say now? And it's very, and I know you guys remember him saying it. You can't put a candle or a light where dark is and dark come in. Light always overcomes the darkness. Think about that. You got a dark room, put a light in there, darkness can't come back in and take the light. You have to remove the light. And I remember him saying that one time, and I thought, now wait a second. Is there a way, unless you were to cover it up, it'd be the only way. But when you uncover it, there the light is again. It didn't go anywhere. So I'm wondering sometimes if as Christians, we've been saved and we've been a light. And then think about the world as a church as a whole. And are we growing dim? Do our batteries need to be recharged a little bit? You know? Have we, you know, think about a veil or a covering. Has it kind of went over it and made it not quite as bright? Maggie likes to get under the sheets in her room and the blanket, and she'll get a light under there, you know. And you go in there and you'll see that little light sticking up through the blanket. And you'll say, Maggie, you asleep? Yeah, I'm asleep. And then she'll pull that off her head. And as soon as she does, that light goes everywhere. You know, they've got good flashlights today. Not like we had growing up. We had those little yellow things, you know. You barely see 2 or 3 feet in front of you. But now they've got a light. You know, you shine it. You shine it across the road and put the neighbor's eyes out for, you know. But anyway, that's the kind of light she's got. But see, when she covers that up, I don't know she's in there except for that one little spot. But boy, if she takes that blanket off in that dark room, it lights up. And that goes back, I remember, we was over in the old building. Preacher Jack said you can never put darkness back into where the light's shining. So as our lives as Christians, as we shine, as we grow in our love and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we grow in the Word of God, as we were talking earlier, we don't consider ourselves to be seniors. Oh, there's nothing more I can learn. But we consider ourselves still to be freshmen, so to speak, or first year, or second year, or third year. Like I said, even if it's 30th year, I'm talking about being saved and studying. You still approach it the same way, like there's more and more I can learn, then that light will continue to always shine. Those batteries will be charged. You'll be ready to go. And that's what I think here when I think about the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, we walk in love. And that's something to think about as we begin this 2016 in our lives, to examine ourselves individually and see where we're at. Let's move on. I got a couple other places, and I won't be before you long, I said. In 1 Corinthians, we looked at fulfilling, how the walk in love or can be fulfilling. Let me look over here in 1 Corinthians. I think it was in 13. Yeah, it was. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 13, I think it's verse number 4. Charity, which we think of the love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity boasteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. You know, when I think about that, let me back up to verse number 4, that vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You know, I've given you my mother told us all the time growing up. She said, yeah, don't get too puffed up with yourself. And I'd always look at her and I'd say, what are you talking about? She'd say, every time she'd say the same thing. It took me years to figure this out. She'd say, every balloon that goes up eventually will come back down. So don't puff up yourself. Don't think more of yourself than you ought to think. But it took me a while to figure that out. It's like my mom always gave me a riddle. And I'd have to try to stop and figure it out. Like, what is she talking about? Don't let myself, balloons. And you know, and as I grew up, I remember birthday parties, whatever, you'd release that balloon, and that would come back to my mind. I'd say, well, I don't see anything. It's still going up. What is she talking about? A few days later, you'd see down the road or next door, it'd be hung in a tree or it'd be on the ground. And I'd say, Mom's right. Those balloons, they go as high as they can, they think, but eventually the air gets let out of them or they get brought back down. They get back brought back down to earth. And so I thought, so she's trying to tell me that personality-wise and who you are as a person. But also in Scripture we see that too, that charity or love. In other words, you don't do things to be seen or to be puffed up or to be noticed. We didn't go out yesterday and visit some and go out and to be puffed up or to get noticed or put a name on a list. But you did that out of love, out of charity. Because, as we talked earlier, the day is far spent. The night is at hand. And so we look here, it said, he's not puffed up. Uh-oh. I'm going a whole lot slower than I thought. I apologize. That's my horn there. Sorry, let me turn that off. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, we're talking about love here, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And that refers back to love. So not only our walk in love and fulfilling, but also our actions daily should be in love. Let me look one more place, and I'll let you go. We'll be finished here. Let's look over in 1 Peter, if you would. Chapter 2. Yeah. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. See, here within itself, this next verse to me would be a New Year's resolution. Let me get to it. Let me read it to you. I mean, think about just something in the new year. And I know we're talking about this morning in Sunday school class. We're here at church and we're together. And I've already mentioned this morning, you know, Kim and I were talking earlier. And, you know, it's a blessing to see every day. Brother Ralph mentioned that in his prayer. And he said, Lord, thank you for another day. And that's true. And just a blessing. The Lord let us get up and our feet hit the floor another day and come down here and fellowship and worship Him together. And I mentioned earlier to Kim, I said, well, you know, the week starts, kids go back to school and we go back to work and things pick back up. And I say that because to use Mr. Grizzle's example he's used, or analogy, well, we've got to get back out in that stream again. We've got to get back in those canoes or kayaks, or one man, one woman, because each person's yourself. Sometimes it's a dual kayak, I know, husband and wife or whatever it may be, but you get back out in that stream and it's about all you can do to keep from going downstream and try to hold you on against the world. And that's really what you see as we go back. But this next verse I read to you can be a resolution within its own. Let me read the first one again. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. To desire the sincere milk of the word. In other words, to want it. To want it more. To look into the word of God. To want that love to flourish out. Like I was talking about my buddy with those coffee beans, and he's always struggling with those. And what he wants to do is see a bloom. I don't drink coffee. I never even knew it would bloom, but it will. And what you want to be able to see in our lives is for love to bloom and for it to be seen, not only us, just ourselves, but the church as a whole to bloom. And as you see here, said part of that desire, the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And He is. And so if I can wrap up the year, and I had a few more places, but again, I like it. It seems like sometimes in Sunday school class when the Lord just leads us and our thoughts. And I hope that's gave you something to think about for the new year. And I had a few other places to read and look at. But let's just end it right there and keep that in mind. As the little Fibonacci sequence said, tick-tock. As the heart beats and as time begins to pass and this new year is upon us and a heart begins to wait to beat. That ecstatic happiness and joy that we should have in our hearts. Let others see that as well and grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. Thank you. You got time to fellowship with each other. Welcome our visitors. And thanks for your attention.